Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Studs, let's go. Technically, hour number two of the show, even though we got started real late because of the Cubs extra inning games. But we are here with you. I'm Lawrence Holmes, and we're going until 10 o'clock tonight. The phone number is 312-644-6767. I do want to give a platform to those of you that would like to talk about today's game. If you wish, there's some other stuff that we're going to do, but we will make time if you want to jump in and talk about what happened out in San Francisco today. And as I said to start the show off, Hayward probably catches that ball that ends the game. But when you get into extra innings and shuffling things around and pinch hitting, you're going to do some unorthodox stuff, like play Chris Bryant in what is probably the toughest right field in baseball. And you end up losing partly because of it. It's hard for me to blame a guy who just came off the DL for doing what he was asked to do by his manager to go out there and play right field. He went out there and did it, and the Cubs had chances. They had runners in scoring position seven times, and they didn't get a hit any of those times. So we can talk about that. They're getting ready to go down to San Diego. They have the day off tomorrow, then they go to San Diego on Friday. And they'll take on the Padres before everyone taking a deep breath. And we start the second half. It looks like Javier Baez and Kyle Schwarber are going to be in the home run derby. It's funny, there's some actual sound on that. I got so caught up in the game, I forgot to do my ritual of going through the sound. But Joe Maddon actually talked a little bit about that today, that he doesn't think that the home run derby itself messes up guys' swings, but he does worry about fatigue. And I actually think those two things are the same. And I know that Joe can draw probably a more crystal line between them, but to me, I think if you have a guy who is overtired, then their swing suffers. But there's data that says that it doesn't affect guys. There's data that there's examples. I shouldn't say data, but there's examples of guys that say it did mess them up. I think it's fine. I hope those guys go and enjoy themselves. Especially Baez. You know, it's his first time going. I know he's got to be jacked up. So let that man go be jacked up. Have a good time. And aren't these the two guys from the Cubs that you would want to see in the home run derby? Because Javi is Mr. Big Cut. Like, this is a competition that is built for Javier Baez. Built for him. Javi, go out there and just hit the snot out of the ball. Okay. Great. Same thing for Schwarber. Hey, Kyle, you know Schwarber bombs? Just do that for a while. If he were healthy, I'd love to see Chris Bryant in it, especially since future Cub Bryce Harper, I'm just kidding, is going to be in it. Herbie, did you know that he has a dog named Wrigley?
I also heard that he's good friends with Chris Bryant.
Coming to the Cubs, confirmed.
Their wives are good friends too?
Sure. Known each other for a long time.
Saw him in a picture today together with Las Vegas
in the back,
Golden Knights,
yeah,
jerseys on together.
They're both big fans of that. both big fans of it. 312-644-6767. Out to the Bay and Brandon. Hey, Brandon, you're on the Score.
Hey, Lawrence, first-time caller. How are you today?
I'm doing really well. What's on your mind?
Hey, I was at the game today, so my daughter and I went together, so I'm traveling home from that. It's kind of disappointing, not going to lie. Good to see Chris Bryant, you know, get a home run, and he didn't look too great in his first couple of bats, but that's just rust, right?
Yeah, I mean, he was on base three times today.
In the first couple of at-bats, I expected maybe a single or some solid contact, and I didn't see that. So
but he hit a home run and walked twice today, Brandon.
I agree. I was happy that he did well, but initially I thought, you know, the first couple of bats he was a little bit rusty. That's all I was trying to say.
Okay. So, all right, what else?
Yep. I wanted to ask you about I thought Victor Caratini, you know, is playing pretty well, and I know that he's potentially being targeted as a trade piece, so I just wanted to kind of get your thoughts on that. I don't know what the Cubs are going to do in this current trade market, but I thought Caratini put himself together a good couple of games out here in San Fran when he got the opportunity to play. So I don't know if that's good, whether they're going to trade him or not, but I just wanted to kind of get your opinion on, especially with his versatility, with Rizzo not playing too well right now, to give him a couple more days off. Just wanted to kind of get your feedback on that.
I agree with you wholeheartedly about that. I don't think that clubhouse is real high on Chris Giménez. I don't think the organization is high on Chris Giménez. And it let me know how far away Darvish was when they DFA'd him. Caratini, to me, is more valuable of a player, and I think that he's got something. He's got a little something. So why not? Why not have him be a part of your team? And once we get to, and look, in September, you can have your roster be filled with catchers if you want. But until we get there, Wilson Contreras has caught a lot of innings. You don't want him to be running down at the end of the season. These guys seem to like throwing to Caratini, and he can play some first base for you. Unless the Cubs make a move for a veteran catcher that's better than Chris Giménez, I don't see any reason to trade Caratini. So I guess what I'm saying is that I agree with you. Cherville and Ron. Hey, Ron, you're on the Score.
Hey, how you doing? Good, first time caller.
Well, thanks for joining me.
Yeah. You know, Brian, okay, you know, I played outfield in baseball, and you think because of the layout of that park, and I don't know how many times he's played in the outfield there, that because of the layout, the way that field's built, that he maybe just lost track of where he was at on that ball?
I think that there's a lot that goes into what happened at the end. I think it's the toughest right field to play in baseball.
I do too. And I think he, if he would have played, turned around on the ball and it was hit, he could have caught the ball if he turned around on the ball, because it wasn't hit sharply. It was just hit deep. And I think he could have backed right up and caught it at the wall. It wasn't. But that layout of that field is tough to hit a home run, and give him credit for hitting a home run today and getting on base and everything else he did today. Guy's a great ball player, coming off rehab. Hitting a home run in that park is not easy on any day of the week.
No, it's not. I appreciate the phone call. I it's hard for me to be mad at Chris Bryant. Yeah, Hayward makes that catch. I think Almora probably makes that catch. But Zobrist maybe makes that catch. Guys that are used to being out there more than he is. He's a third baseman. But he's so scary athletic that Joe, in a pinch, feels like, you know what? If I need to, I can put that guy anywhere on the diamond. And he's not going to embarrass himself. First came back, playing the toughest right field in the game. That's rough. That's rough. A lot of people are texting Rizzo, and this is kind of the text that we're getting from people. Lawrence, are you concerned about Rizzo long-term? Yes. I said this at the beginning of the season. Guys with back problems. Whenever you're talking about guys with back problems, they need either significant time off, and not like 2 or 3 days in a row, like an off season. Those things don't usually get better, and he looks bad at the plate. He looks bad. There isn't an everything in the game that you need to do. Rizzo for the last couple of weeks have looked really bad doing it. Even just moving, him moving around the diamond, it doesn't look like the same guy. I think he's in desperate need of a break, and I'm not sure the All-Star break is going to be long enough. It's good that they've got the day off tomorrow before they start the three-game series to end this, the first half of the season, in quotation marks, with the Padres. But yeah, when he had told everyone that he was feeling better at the beginning of the season, I remember where I was. I was with Pat Tomasulo on Channel 9 because it was opening day weekend. And then, like, he was put on the DL. He's had back issues for a while. And it looks like it's gotten worse this year. To me, that's the only reason why I would believe that Anthony Rizzo is this bad. Because it doesn't make sense from a statistical standpoint why a guy who's always been pretty good now all of a sudden is struggling. I mean, you look at it now, Rizzo's hitting .236. He's a .726 player now, OPS player. And this is a guy that's usually in the mid-800s as an OPS guy. He's not getting on base. He's not driving runs in. He's striking out a lot. Even when he walks, he looks like he's looking like an old guy. And that's usually what happens with guys with back issues. My hope is that it's not his back. Maybe it's something else that's not as harsh. Because if it's, you know, he's got a bad wrist, like we saw with Zobrist last year, or he's got a hamstring issue or something like that, that is an easier fix with rest and all that stuff instead of a back issue that seems to be cascading.
And Sahadev Sharma sends a tweet out that says, Madden suggests that Rizzo's struggles right now are probably a confidence issue as much as anything. When asked if there was injury issues, he said, nothing injury-wise.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly. Put that okay up. Yeah.
All right.
That man's covering.
Until October.
Man, Anthony had a bad back since April.
Right.
He played through it like a champion.
You guys have no idea, but Anthony was struggling since April with a bad back. No, we knew. But when we asked you about it, you were like, no, he's fine. I will say that sometimes I wish managers and coaches would give their players an out like that. I actually think that it does the player more harm to have the retroactive, oh, he was hurt thing, instead of Joe saying, like, to that question, you know what? He's really been struggling. He's been pushing through. He's really been pushing through with that back injury. You know, it's weird. They tighten up on you and blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, baseball's a grind. Sleeping in these different beds, flying all the time. You know, sometimes you need a little rest. He's a rundown right now.
But we're hoping that he'll be able to continue to fight through some of this stuff and blah, 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 blah. We'll see how much you want to bet, though. There'll be a story in The Athletic in November. It's like Anthony Rizzo was struggling with back issues for most of the season. It's the only thing that makes sense. Look at the way he was running. And the texter points it out correctly. That play where it looked like he had should have beaten out the ground ball. He's not a burner. But it was one of those plays where Pat Hughes thought the run would score. And then they were like, well, he must have slipped out of the box. And he didn't. He's walking around like an old man. And that's for a player as accomplished as him. He is an MVP level player. And for a player as accomplished as him to look as bad as he looks. Here, this is what I'm telling you. Think I'm crazy? Here's Pat and Ron talking about it.
And the 2-1. Rizzo hits a number toward third. Might be a tough play. That's going to be a base hit. The play at first is in time. Rizzo is out. I don't know if Anthony slipped leaving the box. The ball got by the pitcher, Moronta. And Darno came in and barehanded the ball and threw to first to get Rizzo. I did not mean to mislead you. I thought for sure that was going to be an infield hit.
Because in almost every other scenario, that's an infield hit. Meanwhile, Rizzo's running to first like he's Paul Konerko at the end of his career. Lyle and Jerry. Hey, Jerry, you're on the score.
Hey, bud. Rizzo's a long ways from in. He's just tired. That's all. And he'll catch up. The thing that really pissed me about today's game was having leaving Brian in here. He's been out for a month, hadn't played. He's practiced and done some recoup stuff. But he leaves him in here for 13 innings, and he puts him in right field, for Christ's sake. That is dumb. Fowler would have caught that ball in his back pocket. But anyway, I'm not a Madden fan.
He was out of guys. What did you want him to do?
I don't know. How could he be? He can't be out of guys. Let him play. Put him where they belong and let him play.
But he wanted to pinch hit with LaStella. LaStella's not really capable of playing outfield. Bryant is. You don't want to lose Bryant's bat in the lineup, so you needed to move him. So I don't have an issue. I don't have as much of an issue with this as you do.
Well, I have an issue with a lot of stuff that Madden does, but that's beside the point.
Yeah, I think maybe you're allowing those other issues with Madden to cloud your judgment on this particular situation. It's not unprecedented that Chris Bryant goes and plays outfield. Is it a little bizarre that it's the toughest right field in Major League Baseball and he is back? Yeah, I guess. But you had made your moves. What are you going to do? All the guys got in. Almora pinch hit in the game. Hap pinch hit in the game. LaStella pinch hit in the game. Contreras pinch hit in the game. I don't have a problem with that at all. And Chris played a couple of games down in Tennessee. He's probably a little bit rusty, and it's not like you ask him to play outfield every day. But you're getting late in games and you're making switches, and you've seen Chris Bryant before be good enough to get you out of a game playing right field or left field or in some cases center field. So I didn't have that big of an issue with it. We'll take a break. We'll talk some more about this if you wish. There's a couple other news items that I want to get into today. And a conversation that we had a couple weeks ago with an NFL writer proves prescient. I'll let you hear where that is coming up next here on The Score. This segment is being brought to you by Spot Hero. And finally, here's a way you can save time parking. Use Spot Hero anytime you park. First-time users can enter promo code SMART for $10 off. Spot Hero, park smarter. My name is Lawrence Holmes. I'm here with you until 10 o'clock. Got a late start because the Cubs game went late. There are a lot of people mad at Joe Madden, and I think that this is not one of those games where you should be mad at Joe Madden. I think there are plenty of games where it makes sense to be upset with moves that are made, but moving Bryant to right field late in the game is not one of them. It's just, I don't get it. It's like you're waiting. Like that's what I think is really funny. that you'll wait for like the smallest thing. You'd be like, see, I told you Madden's a terrible manager. And then I tell you three National League Championship Series and a World Series. And you go, well, they did it despite him. Okay. Out to Aurora and Earl. Hey, Earl, you're on the score.
Hey, what's going on, Lawrence?
Nothing much, Earl. What's on here's your mind?
Everybody, no. Here's my thing, and I'm going to make it quick. Everybody needs to just calm down.
You know what, Earl? Your phone's terrible. Again, hey, Elon Musk. Now that you've helped those kids out in the cave and you're talking about the super train from O'Hare to downtown, can we get cell phones right? If we could just get cell phones right, that would be helpful. I'm going to try Earl again.
Okay. Hang up and call back.
Nope. It's bad. I'm sorry, Earl. I'd very much like to talk to you, but we can't. By the way, as I was saying, Madden was on this morning or this afternoon, as he usually is on the midday show. And he talked with the boys about the home run derby because it looks like Schwarber and Baez are going to be in it. Here's what he said.
I won't give them advice. The big thing about this event is that I think my biggest concern is the number of swings taken and fatigue. I think by limiting, I guess they put more governors on it the last year or two. I think that's the most important thing. If you want more participants, don't make it so long. Don't require so many swings. Don't require that much effort. I don't think it's going to mess anybody's swing up. I really don't. But I do think it can fatigue a guy. And so part of this all-star break is you don't want your guys to work too hard or too often. So have fun with it. Enjoy it. But from a contesting as a contest, limit it. Limit it. Make it call it down a little bit. You'll get more guys that want to participate.
So that's his thoughts on it. Every player will react differently to it. If the guys want to participate in it, I'm down for them to do it. I hope they have a fun time. I hope they don't hurt themselves, and I hope they enjoy the moment. And in Baez's case, he's earned it going to the All-Star game. The only question is, and Joe has made a point of this over the last couple of weeks, the Cubs come back early. So they have this West Coast game in San Diego. The guys scatter or fly back here to scatter for a couple of days, but the All-Star guys go straight to D.C. Javi will be, and Schwarber will be in the home run hitting contest on Tuesday. Javi and Contreras and Lester are going to play on the home run hitting contest on Monday. Javi, Contreras, and Lester will play in the game on Tuesday. They have an off day, and then Thursday, they're the first game back. The only game on the schedule, I believe, against the Cardinals at 6:05. Downers Grove and Corey. Hey, Corey, you're on the score.
Lawrence.
Hi, Corey.
Hey, man, how you doing? You are hitting, you're tapping it right there, because we're laughing over here. We're listening to you, and you tell you something. Why put the man in the outfield?
Because
you know who I'm talking about.
You mean Bryant?
Yes, sir.
Because he sometimes plays outfield.
I know he does sometimes, but you know, they got like triple A players and, you know, people that are sitting on the bench like Jonathan Zaslow, Brett Romberg, Amber Wilson, which is a cheerleader.
Oh my God.
She's a cheerleader.
So Corey, Corey, you want to continue your comedy bit? You want to just go ahead? Go ahead. I'm gonna give you 30 more minutes. Go ahead.
Yeah, Lawrence, listen, you could have played ball. You could have been something back in the day.
Yep.
But you want to know why you're not something? Because you're not.
People are the worst. Except for my guy, Earl. Hey, Earl.
Hey, what's going on, man? Does my phone sound better now?
Yeah, it sounds much better. Did you get an upgrade or what?
Hi. Hey, man, I'm in Aurora, man, and I'm going to leave it at that. No, I'm not trying to do a bit.
what everybody needs to understand is that this is a 162-game season. We're going to have these ups and downs. Obviously, these are Cubs fans that are not used to success 2 years later. And I'm a Cubs fan, and it's still bugging me, but I still know baseball. Cubs are going through a lull. And look, they're 16 games over.
Wait. They're not going through a lull. They've won 10 out of 14. I'm going to ask a real honest question right now. Are people who are calling and texting actually watching the Cubs? Because I had one guy who texted here and was like, why does he have Hayward out and right? And I was like, because Hayward was playing center. And I said, did you watch the game? And he goes, no. So are we only getting calls from people who aren't watching the game? This is the reason that whenever sports radio does the research comes back that the listener hates the caller. You might think that they're the same people, but they're not. A major majority of people who listen to the radio station don't call the radio station. And you know what they hate? People who call the radio station. All I ask is that you watch the game. Just watch it. You're acting like you've never seen Chris Bryant play outfield for the Cubs before. Like this is a new thing that they did. There's Crazy Joe. Crazy Joe doing crazy things. Herbie, can you look up for me how many games Chris Bryant has played in the outfield for the Cubs? Because I know today wasn't the first day. Today is going to be the day.
Outfield totally?
Yeah.
103 times.
He's played outfield in 100. How many games has he played in the major leagues? Like 400?
576.
So 20% of 15% of the time that he's been in the major leagues, he's played the outfield. If my math is right, it probably isn't.
That's good enough.
It's close, right?
It's almost a fifth, so, you know, about 20%, somewhere in there.
Yeah.
15 to 25. Give yourself a lot of room for
error. I say 15 to 20 because it's over 500.
Yeah, you're right.
It's closer to 600, so I'm saying it's about 15.
That works.
I'm not good with the math.
Maybe cut the middle and go 17%.
Herbie, how many games has he played in right field?
Surprisingly, not a lot. Well, enough, 70.
As the 630 texter says, he hasn't played right field other than the 70 times that he's done.
Oh, sorry, I can't read. Sorry, it was backwards. Left field 70 times, right field 34 times.
So other than the 34 times that he's played right field.
So a third of the time he's played the outfield, he's played right field.
Correct. Because it's...
More than 200 of his innings out of his 4,500 innings, he's played at right field.
Do you not watch games? Like, I would rather you just be straight up with me and just say, I just like hearing my own voice. I have a dumb opinion and I want to share it. Then not watching the game and not, how do you not know your team? How do you consider yourself worthy enough of calling a show to talk about baseball? And you have no idea what your own team does. It's your team. You're supposedly a Cub fan. And you don't know that Chris Bryant sometimes plays the outfield. It was like, you'd never seen it before. Oh no. Can Bryant play the outfield? This isn't even like when C-Sheck is out there and Dunsing, and he's doing that whole thing. Because I think that Dunsing had never played outfield, or C-Sheck, like neither one, like even in high school, had never played outfield. There are people who looked at that move and was like, Joe's a genius. He puts Chris Bryant, arguably your best athlete, out in right field. And it's like, clutch the pearls. Yes, Joe.
Lawrence, thanks for having me on.
No problem. What's on your mind?
The thing that drove me absolutely nuts about today's game, and it's just one of my biggest pet peeves, is that called third strike. They left so many guys on base today, and there's ample opportunity to push them across, get them moving, and you just watch strike three go by you.
I was a little surprised there was a Baez took a called third, and I was like, ooh, that's not like Javi. He's swinging away usually. You don't ordinarily say that or see that. Northwestern football, Coach Fitz and the Wildcats host Michigan, Nebraska, Wisconsin, Notre Dame, Illinois, and more this fall at Ryan Field. Season and single game tickets are on sale now at nusports.com. 708 Texter. Yes, San Francisco is, I think it is the hardest right field to play. It is. I haven't missed one pitch this year. Hayward in right, now Moore in center. Hayward catches that ball in the first inning, too. He didn't start Almora today. Guys get days off. He pinch hit Almora. And then he pinch hit Listella. When your starting pitcher goes five innings, you have to do some of that stuff. I am amazed at how ignorant some of you are about your own team. I'm not asking you about the bench situation of the Anaheim Angels. We're talking about your team, the Cubs. The team that you supposedly are a fan of. And you know nothing. How is that possible? How is it possible that you then decide, you know what's a good idea? I didn't even watch today's game, but I'm going to call. It's a terrible idea. It doesn't make sense. It really, like, it's bizarre. You have to admit, it's bizarre that people would look at this as an opportunity to just jump at Joe Maddon, who don't even understand the context of what they're mad about. 6-3-0 Texas, can we talk about practice? We're talking about practice, not a game. Not the game that I go out there and die for. We talking about practice. It's almost like someone said we got to do screener questions. Like, did you watch the game today? Like, do we have to go that rudimentary with our call screening? Hey, did you watch the game today? I don't have the staff for this.
We need a screener for the screener.
That's what I'm saying, studs. Between
precursor.
There's three of us here. Three. Herb's got to EP the show and take your dumb phone calls. And now he's got to start with the basics.
Well, there's one guy who wants me to talk about baseball fundamentals, like start from a beginner standpoint. And I was like, he keeps on calling in. He's probably on hold right now. So I had to deal with him and then all the bad callers. But, yeah, you know how Dan Patrick, they have, like, a screener off the screen?
Yeah.
Off the camera?
ESPN, they don't even let you call live.
Yeah.
ESPN, they take your call and record it. And if one is good, they'll play it. But maybe they're right. Maybe they're right. That's the way we should do it.
I mean, if it was up to me, you know.
I mean, a lot of shows we do like that, where there's no calls at all.
When I was in San Diego, they didn't take any calls.
Ronji doesn't take calls down in St. Louis.
Numbers are real.
And he's number one in the market. With tens.
Gotta step your game up.
Boy is doing tens. I actually really enjoy talking to people. And if you have a good point to make, I'm willing to concede a point. But if your point is, I didn't watch the game, I hate Joe Maddon. What am I supposed to do with that?
And how does, we've talked about this before, but how does one Cub fan, or any Cub fan, hate Joe Maddon? You can be indifferent to Joe Maddon, you can love Joe Maddon, but the last thing you can be is hating him or thinking he's an idiot.
They've never seen a manager as successful as Joe Maddon. Brand new. Brand new.
I get on this with my friends all the time.
Okay.
About Cubs fans not appreciating what they have right now. A guy like Joe Maddon, who by all accounts is one of, if not the best manager in the major leagues, a team that has been to three consecutive league championship series and won a World Series for the first time in over a century. They've never been to the, how many times in franchise history have they been to the playoffs 2 years in a row, let alone three, well on their way to a fourth, at the assuming they don't completely fall apart, I imagine they'll at least get a wild card spot. And yet people think the world is just collapsing around them.
I haven't looked at, don't they have the second best record in the National League right
now? They do, second to Milwaukee.
Yeah, the second in the league, not just in the division, but in the league.
Yeah, entering today, they had the second best record in the National League, and it's just not good enough.
They've won 10 out of 14.
They have the number one run differential in the National League.
What is this? What is this alternate universe that we have stumbled upon?
I was talking to Grody today via Twitter, and he kind of was like, you know, Cub fans, I kind of like the fact that they kind of want more, but this is not wanting more. This is kind of being ignorant.
Yes!
Of who the Cubs are.
It's it is the definition of ignorant, not knowing.
And if I had Theo and Jed on my team and Joe,
let's go.
There'll be nothing I'll be worrying about. I'll be waiting for the playoffs. It's the playoff thing.
But fine. But I do understand getting angry at a particular game, and I don't want fans to not emote on a particular game. But at least know what the hell you're talking about. If you want to be upset about a pitching matchup, Joe should have done, like, for example, you know something that you should be upset about in this particular game? Him pitching to Buster Posey twice with the game on the line and a base open. Those are the types of things where I go, sure you want to do that with a real dude? If you want to be mad, then be mad about that. Now, he got the out with a deep fly ball and left, but you had an opportunity, and yes, you're moving the runner up 90 feet if you walk Posey in the 13th. Those are the things that you should be mad about. I'm just saying. It's a little frustrating. It's so brand new.
I love this text. I don't like Joe Maddon because the Cubs did not go 162-0.
Yep.
It's like that's what they want.
That's the standard.
Or that, I had a friend say the other day they could go 161-1. And people would be complaining about that one loss and blame Joe Maddon.
219 texter says, Joe is a smug a-hole. That's why we hate him. Wow. You hate Joe Maddon. You're right. Let's bring Mike Quadi back. Because Mike Quadi, by all accounts, super nice guy. Is it that you hate Joe because you think that he's smarter than you? Is that what it is? You think Joe's smarter than you and you hate it? Hey, Mark, you're on the score.
Hey, how are you tonight?
I'm doing well.
Good. Hey, I love baseball. I love the Cubs, and I love this radio show. Two things. I'll be quick with Madden. One, he is such a strong manager.
I mean, he may not always be conventional, but we are lucky to have him as Cubs fans. He, good strategy, good manager. Secondly, just wanted to talk about the big picture. When I see the roster and the team, I don't see any major glaring weaknesses. I think I have the defense, the speed, the batting average, the power, starting pitching has been a little down, and a good bullpen. What do you think is their biggest weakness? Because I think this team has the pieces to make a World Series run.
I think they need more starters. I think that they need to make a trade. And I thought, I initially thought that what they needed was just someone to eat innings. I think they need to shoot higher than that. I'm not saying that you go get an ace, but I do think that it can't just be a back of the rotation arm. They need to shoot a little higher. Back after this on The Score. You know, I said it last night, but I think that the more I think about it, the Matt Harvey thing makes sense. I don't know if he's the dude that was getting people out 3 years ago, but he's pitched well enough that if I would prefer that they do that than like James Shields or a James Shields type. This segment being brought to you by Spot Hero. And finally, here's a way you can save time parking. Use Spot Hero anytime you park. First time users can enter promo code SMART for $10 off. Spot Hero. Park smarter. 219 Texas says, any manager that can bring home a World Series championship is all good. I do get upset with him from time to time. Sure. Yeah. It's not, even though you probably thought before, had Madden won a World Series, that he gets a hall pass for life. It doesn't mean that he can't be criticized. It just means make your criticism informed. Like, I don't know, watching the game. It's the least you can do. The least. Why do you think that in this format, we do spend a lot of time talking to people after games? The hope is that you watch the game or listen to it. But this reflexive, oh, people are mad, so here's my chance to be mad at Joe Maddon. He'd be hired tomorrow. Hi, Joe. You're on The Score.
Lawrence, I promise I watched the game today. Swear.
Okay.
if people are looking for an immediate reason as to why they lost the game, it's two-out walks, especially in the last inning. I think Belt was like 0-for-5 or something at that point. And then McCutcheon and Posey hitting behind him. You got to think one of those guys are going to come through. But in the grand scheme of things, I'm with you. It's about pitching. You know, we're almost at like a two-man rotation at this point.
Yep.
Do you think the market might be too rich for like a J.A. Happ or something like that?
Yeah, you might have to give up too much from your roster. I feel like I heard that Happ had a – is he all right? Like, did he leave a game early or something like that? Or is he, I'll check his boxes over the last couple of games. But yeah, that's the type of guy that you're talking about. Yeah, he got lit up in his last start against the Yankees. 2 2/3, gave up 6 runs. But that's what we're talking about, that type of guy. But this year he hasn't been great. ERA 4.5. Maybe you get a little bit of relief because you're going from American League to National League. But yeah, they need people who can eat innings. Montgomery, and this was my concern when he started off really good, that even though he threw like 130 innings last year, that you're asking him to start in some high leverage situations here, even though it's only midseason. When is he going to run out of gas? And I think that we're seeing that. I think the All-Star break is going to be great for him too, because he won't pitch again, right? He'll have a long time off before he pitches again. And I think that that's good. Peoria and Adam. Hey, Adam, you're on the Score.
Hey, Lawrence, thanks for having me on.
No problem.
I agree with you on the whole All-Star game and everything and them taking a break. They got such a long stretch that's coming up in the next couple months. They need all the time that they can get, just like the last caller talked about having a two-man rotation and Lester's going. That's just more time on his arm. You know, Javi deserves to be at the All-Star game, but I think they just need their rest more than they need anything else.
I appreciate the phone call, but I do not want to deny those guys that opportunity. It's not fair. I get it, but I don't want to deny. Wilson Contreras was in tears when he found out he was made the All-Star team. This is clearly a goal for them to get voted in. Javi maybe having his best season as a pro. I can't deny them this. And I don't think Joe Maddon wants to deny them this. But with the way that their schedule sets up, it stinks. Playing on the West Coast, flying to Washington, being in the home run hitting contest, being at the All-Star game on Tuesday, having one day off, and then going to play St. Louis. It's rough. Do you think Chris Bryant is just like, I'll just hang, just leave me here in San Diego. I'll see you guys on Wednesday. I'll just go to Vegas or go hang out here in San Diego for a while. Didn't you say there's a donut place out there that he likes, Herbie?
I think it's called Rose's Donuts.
Really?
Yeah. All right. He goes every time he goes back to San Diego.
I have to check that out when I go see the Sun Bowl. I think I'm doing that. We'll take more of your phone calls if they're good. They're not good, Herbie. Shaking his head saying no. Back after this on the Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.